God didn't need your help whenever he created life, and he doesn't need your help to fulfill your promise.
Refresh.
Good Monday morning, guys. It's your boy, the Muffin Man, coming back at you with another episode of Refresh Podcast. Man, I am super excited to be back with you guys. It has been such an incredible time away. I hope that you guys are making the most of your quarantine time. Now, I do understand that I've been absent for a few weeks and I have not recorded anything, and I do apologize greatly for that. So basically, I'll give you a brief summarization of what has happened within a few weeks. So my roommate has had the incredible opportunity to upgrade his equipment so that he can start live streaming every day, which is super awesome. And I'm very, very proud of him. So I was actually borrowing some of his equipment in his downtime to record podcasts. And he recently took all of his stuff and built a new setup so that way he can stream. So I didn't want to be a burden. I didn't want to be a hassle to go and take his stuff and set it up for podcasts and tear it down. So yesterday I had the incredible opportunity, as many people have had, and that was to receive a stimulus check that was released from our president. And so I used it to pay off my bills for the rest of the month. And I invested in this gorgeous blue Yeti mic that I am using to record podcasts for you here today. Sounds super crisp. I'm still learning how to use it. But I am just incredibly excited to bring better quality and also to have equipment of my own that I can start pushing podcast episodes back out to you guys. So without further ado, guys, let's go ahead and we're going to open up in prayer. And then we're going to jump into the next episode in our series, That Is Who You Are. God, I just thank you so much for this incredible time. God, I pray that you would just begin to open up our hearts and our ears to receive a word from you here today. God, I pray that you would anoint my lips. Let it not be by my words alone, but by yours, God. Father, I pray that you would just move in such a powerful way. God, we make room for you to move right here and right now. Father, we just invite you in this place. And Father, we give you the utmost praise, the highest praise. Father, we love you so much. And Father, we just speak all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, I am so humbled and so blessed that all of you tune in weekly to listen to these podcasts. As I was checking my analytics, I saw that I had reached an area of two people in Slovakia, and that's a huge milestone that somebody that a pair of ears or a couple of pair of ears are listening in Slovakia, that they're getting the gospel and they're getting to be encouraged about Jesus where they are because of this podcast. So glory to King Jesus for that. We're going to be resuming the next episode in our series, That Is Who You Are. Episode 3 is called Promise Keeper. So let me start by asking you this. What is a promise? If you had to define and you took time to ask yourself, what is a promise? If you were to look it up in a dictionary, it says that a promise is a declaration or an assurance that one will do a particular thing or that a particular thing will happen. So let's think about it in terms like this for a moment, okay? A promise can also mean these words such as pledge, vow, bond, commitment, and you know, once again, all of these words are associated with the word promise. So let's just take time to just breathe in some of these words for a moment. Excuse me so much. a vow, okay? So let's talk about a vow for a moment. A vow like in a marriage. Now, we've all been to weddings before where we share those moments where the bride and the groom, they get up in front of everybody. They spend all of this time thinking about these vows and thinking about these series of promises that they're going to give to their significant other. These things that they are just choosing not to violate. And so you think about that for just a moment. Think about this. Think about a bond with a best friend. Think about your best friend. Think about the bond that you guys share. Think about the stories that you guys know. Think about the things that you guys have been through together. Think about the jokes and all of the references, the way that you guys get each other on a deeper level than the people around you. Think about that for a moment. And think about a commitment with a financial company, okay? Think about a commitment. And when I say that, I'm talking about you make a commitment to pay back your car notes because you're paying on your car. I'm talking about a commitment as far as your mortgages and your house notes that you are saying, okay, I'm going to pay this by a certain time. Now, I want to ask you, what happens if you break your promise? Think about that for just a moment. What happens if you break your promise? You see, there's a consequence that happens whenever you break your promise. And we know that consequences can both be good, but consequences can both be bad as well. And so what happens if you break your promise? Well, you face a bad consequence. You think about when you break your vow in a marriage, that often leads to some fights, that often leads to some discomfort, that often leads to having to have counseling, that often leads to cheating, and that often leads to divorce and adultery. You know, that's what happens when you break promises in a marriage. What about when you break a bond with a best friend? There's a fight. There's an uneasy feeling. Sometimes you lose a best friend. What happens if you break your promise with a commitment that you have with a financial company? They come and repossess your vehicle. They come and take your house. They come and collect, no matter if you have the money or not. So what happens if you break your promise? Well, guys, I want to read you some scripture. So let me just flip over here to 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56. And it says, "Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. Not one word has failed of all his good promise, which he promised through Moses, his servant." I want you to see that when you build a promise, when you craft a promise with a person, you have that chance, you have that potential percentage of the promise being broken. You think about it like this. There's a chance that your husband or wife's going to hurt your feelings and they'll break that promise, your vow. There's a chance that your best friend's going to do something that's going to aggravate you. I aggravate my best friend all the time. He has to live with me. What if you break a commitment? Then we said, you know, they repossess your possessions. But above all these things, guys, I want you to understand this, that God never, ever fails, that his promises never fail, and that he never is in void of his promise, that you can trust him. So let's talk about this. Let's ask this question. What is God's promise? What is God's promise? In 1 John chapter 2, verse 25, it tells us that this is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. That God's promise to us is eternal life. It is the inheritance that is passed on to us because of our adoption. Whenever God stepped forward and he called us to a place to be adopted into sonship and to daughtership because we were orphaned from sin, guys, that he gives us a gift that we do not even deserve, a promise that we do not even deserve. Man, we see right here in Galatians 3:18, it tells us that, "For if the inheritance is based on law, it is no longer based on a promise, but God has granted it to Abraham by means of a promise." So let's talk about what that means in just a moment. Let's talk about that in just a moment. So I'm sure that at some point you guys have probably heard grace and you guys have probably heard the term law and you wonder, what in the world does it mean? I heard my pastor explain it in such a phenomenal way not too long ago that I really enjoyed, and it really transformed the way that I thought about it, that the law is the standard, that the law says that this is holiness and this is the standard and this is what is required of you and this is what it takes to live an upright life. But guys, if we're being completely and totally real, the only person that can fulfill the entirety of that standard is King Jesus himself, because he is the only person without blemish. He is the only person that lived without sin. He is the only person that faced every temptation and overcame, because he came to be that example. He came to be that guide. He came to be that standard to show us the way, to show us how to do it, and to show us how it is possible to uphold a righteous standard in our life. So the law is here to show us that we cannot do this in our own power, that we need grace, that we need the promise of eternal life, that we needed Jesus to come and die on the cross, to die in our place, that his blood would be shed so that we can step into this inheritance one day. We have to come to a place where we understand that an inheritance is not for right now. But an inheritance is for the later. It is for the end game. It is for the long term. It is not in the short term. We see that in the Bible, whenever the prodigal son had asked for his inheritance before the long term, he wanted it in the short term. It brought destruction to his life because it was something that he was not yet ready for. So let me ask you this. So many people are so eager to get to heaven right now, but their lives, the way that they're living, they are not prepared to step into that place of eternity. So many people want to get to heaven, but then their worship life is dry and their worship life is dead. Guys, we need to come to a place to where we're worshiping more, because worship is what we will do when we're there forever. And if our inheritance was based on the law and based on the standard and how well we can do and how well our performance would be, then it would no longer rely on the promise. It would mean that God's promise would not be important and that Jesus would not have to come and die for us because we do it all on our own. But he had granted to Abraham by the means of a promise. Guys, we have to come to Jesus. We have to treat his promises like a child. Now, I want you to imagine with me for a moment that you're promising a child something. Have you ever promised a child something? Have you ever said, hey, you know what? We're going to go to Chuck E. Cheese tomorrow. Hey, you know what? We're going to go bowling. Hey, you know what? We're going to go to the aquarium. You know what? We're going to go and get a snowball. You know, hey, you know what? If you make good grades, you're going to get this prize. You're going to get this reward. And that child looks forward to doing that. That child actually believes that it's going to happen immediately. Not in the long term, but in the short term, in the now. And they begin to anticipate the promise. That whenever tomorrow comes and the promise isn't fulfilled, they get a little discouraged, but they keep on moving on and they keep working hard because they believe that that promise is going to happen. In Matthew 19, 14, it says, but Jesus said, let the children alone, and do not hinder them from coming to me. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. That Jesus is telling his disciples right here, do not shoo the children away from me. Do not tell the children that they are bothering me, but instead let them come to me. Let them be where I am. Let them sit in my lap. Let them listen to me speak, because it is when you come to me with the faith like these children, that is how you're going to inherit the kingdom, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who do not care what other people think, who do not care how crazy and how silly they look. That when you come to King Jesus like a child, the kingdom will belong to you. Guys, we need to do a much better job of holding on to the promise like a child, that God will do what he said he would do, that we have to believe on it, that we have to stand on it, that we have to not allow anything to take it from us. It, this, you know, when I was preparing for this message and I was at work yesterday, there was a revelation that I had and that I just want to share with you. Now, this is just something that my own personal stuff I thought of. So, you know, take it or leave it. It's totally up to you. But I was thinking about one of the biggest promises that you and I are probably most familiar with in the Bible, and that is the promise of a child to Abraham and Sarah. You think about this promise, you know, that Abraham and Sarah would have old age and they wanted a child and they prayed and they interceded and they fasted and God said, hey, I'm going to give you a child. And they were excited. And I believe that probably within the first week, they believed that it was going to happen almost instantly. I believe that there was probably a time that they came to a place to where they were conceiving and they could not conceive, that they were trying to get pregnant and they couldn't get pregnant, that they were just at some point discouraged, at some point defeated, at some point worn out to where they felt like God forgot about them, because it says that Sarah offered Abraham her handmaid Hagar to have a child with her because she knew that she was fruitful. And we see that that is a disobedience. We see that that is a form of helping God out. You know, have you ever been there? Have you ever been there to where God had promised you something and you know that God didn't abandon you, but you just don't see the promise in sight whatsoever, and you get discouraged to where you feel like you have to help God out? Let me tell you something. If God did not need your help to create life itself, then he does not need your help to fulfill your promise. I couldn't help but think that how close was Abraham and Sarah to breakthrough? How close were they to the promise being fulfilled whenever they disobeyed and they acted outside of God's will? How long back did that delay their promise? Because we see that the promise was fulfilled 25 years after it was spoken. Guys, and it makes me wonder the same thing, because in Deuteronomy, it talks about that there are blessings and curses for our life, that if we obey God and we obey his voice and we follow his commands, that we will bring blessings upon our own lives. But the moment that we're acting in disobedience, we're bringing curses upon our lives. I can't help but wonder that whenever Abraham and Sarah try to help God out with their promise, that it pushed back, that it delayed the true promise from being fulfilled. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you've been trying to help God out with your promise because you felt forgotten. I want to remind you today that he's a promise keeper. His promise never fails. He will never give up on you. He's going to do whatever he said he would do. So whatever it is that God has promised you, whatever it is that you're waiting on from him, I want you to understand that he will do what he said he will do. Trust and believe. Hold strong to that promise, because he's a promise keeper. I want to pray for you. Father, I just thank you so much for the privilege, for the opportunity to minister to the hearts of your people. God, I thank you for the opportunity to encourage and to love on the body of Christ. God, I just pray that this word will begin to take seeds and that they would be planted within the hearts of your people and every ear of every viewer that has listened to this podcast. God, I pray that you would help us to stop trying to help you out, but to stand firm on the promise that we can come to you like children and not feel embarrassed and not feel like we look crazy or are even worried about what we look like to others. But God, just completely coming undone before you. God, I pray that you would help us to wait on you and rely on you for our strength. God, I thank you for your word tells us that in our weaknesses, you are made strong. And God, I am so grateful that whenever I'm at the end of my rope, that's whenever I am the most vulnerable. Because in my vulnerability, God, I'm asking for help and I'm relying on you because I cannot do it on my own. And God, I believe that somebody here right now needs to hear that very word. God, that you are a promise keeper. Because that is who you are. God, it is in your nature. You do not lie. But God, you fulfill every word that you speak. God, I love you. God, we give you the highest praise. Thank you for this reminder today that you are a promise keeper. God, that you are void, that your word is never void, and that you never lie and your words never fail. Father, we give you the highest praise. You're so good. In Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, thank you so much for joining me here today on this episode of Refresh Podcast, where Christ goes before so we can bring you another refreshing word. This has been your boy, the Muffin Man. I hope you guys have had such an incredible day, and I hope you're doing absolutely scrundly-umptious, and I cannot wait to be back with you guys for another refreshing word. Have a good day, guys. I love you so much. Take it easy. Don't be cheesy.